King of Glory, Wonderful Savior, Merciful God. Here we are before your holy presence, our God. We come as a people. We come, God, according to your will. We come, Father, to seek your will. We come, Lord, to seek you. We are longing for you, O God. We come to hear from you. We are longing to hear from you, our God. So speak now, O Father, as your people are listening. Speak, O God, until your church is filled with your glory. O Father, we ask all this in the name of your Son, that you may open our eyes, our ears of the Spirit, that you may hear your word coming from this altar to the hearts of your people. We ask all this, O God, in the wonderful name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We all say Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. And good morning. Please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter number
1.
And the title of the message, He Will Save His People. Matthew chapter 1, we're reading verse 21.
Matthew chapter 1, verse 21.
We read last week from 18 to 25, so we're just going to look at verse 21 this morning. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading and to the proclamation of his word this morning. At this moment, Matthew is still introducing to us the King, King Jesus. But he will not introduce this King without telling us how is he different from any other king. We have seen last week and the week before that this king originates from heaven. This is not someone born in the world, just like everyone who is born in the world, but he comes from heaven. He comes from above to save his people from their sins. And if you can think backwards, we remember that the Bible tells us that the people had been giving God sacrifices. But God was never pleased with the sacrifices. There was nothing that people could give that could redeem them. There was nothing that was pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. Even today as we speak, there is nothing that man can do, there is nothing that man can give unto God as pleasing sacrifice for their sins to be removed. He sent his Son so that his Son alone may be the Savior of his people, may be the Savior of the world. So Jesus plus anything else cannot redeem man. Jesus plus water cannot redeem man. Jesus plus Mary, or Jesus plus Joseph, Jesus plus Daniel, or Jesus plus anything cannot redeem anyone. But Jesus alone is the Savior of his people.
ho unto hana utusa hana polosa moto empa ke Jesu pela a polosa.
So we know that Jesus came into the world. The question that remains then, what did he come to do?
Potsa ko rena Jesu o Jesu o etsang le fase vele ka re tsebe gore o tlile a tswa le hoti mo.
Verse 21 gives us an answer. He came to save his people. So as we look at this verse this morning, there are three emphases that I want us to look at from this verse that we have read. It says, "We shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So first, what we're going to look at is the instruction from this angel. Then the mission of this child, the mission of King Jesus. Then the direct focus of this mission, the specifics of the mission. Looking at this verse, we can see the simplicity of the instruction. The angel gives a command to Joseph, a command that comes from God. He says, "You shall name him Jesus." That's the instruction. Just name him Jesus. And the name Jesus, it means God is salvation. God
saves.
It doesn't say God of salvation. It means God is salvation. And as we go through this book of Matthew, you will soon realize that this is not even the name that God will use to save his
people.
But the name reveals that God himself, Jehovah, the one who sits in heaven, comes into the world and saves his people himself. It reveals that he comes into this world and takes this job. He takes this job to himself, the job of saving. He makes it his own. He makes it his mission that he will do. So the angel says, this is the one who shall lead his people to the promised land, as Joshua of the Old Testament. Since the name of Joshua also means the same, a deliverer, a savior. But this Joshua, this Jesus, is not going to lead people into Canaan. He's going to lead people into the presence of God, into the very presence of God. Those who shall come to him in this world, they shall be called his children. And when they depart from this world, they shall be united with him. They shall be with him forever. In the land where there is no pain, there is no sorrow, but joy and peace. It's going to take them to the land where there's no sorrow and there's no pain, but only joy and peace. Because his name gives us peace. His name takes away sorrow from us, even in our weary hearts. The name identifies to us the Savior, but it also describes to us this Savior. It speaks of a deliverer, as I was saying. So Matthew, as he was writing this, he was writing to encourage the people of his time. He's writing also that we may also be encouraged that the Savior has come into the world.
Mm-hmm.
Just as Jesus himself said in John 3 verse 17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So friends, dear congregation of God, I want you to look within you. I want you to think. I want you to see how far you have fallen, how far you were deep in sin, but then consider how God himself could come into the world and become one of us. The Son of God became a man. He was willing to be raised by the people he created. He was willing to be born of a woman he created. The Bible tells us when we read the book of Philippians that he was given a name above every name. So his name tells us of who he is. And what his name says is what he is. He is the Savior. His name is different than our names, gentlemen. His name means something. Unlike our names today, I can call my daughter and say, your name is Beauty, but it will not change what is. You can call your son Solomon. It will not change the fact that he had to do great one 4 times. No wisdom. Call him Samson. He comes on with bruises every day, but he's doing grade 12. So the name doesn't change anything, but the name of Jesus means something. The psalmist says, this is the name we should exalt together. A name that brings us together greater than anything in this world. A name that brings nations together, people from different places coming together because of this name. Because of his name, we are in this congregation together. This is the name that holds us together in praise and worship, so that even the afflicted among us may worship God, can receive the blessing from above. A name which speaks of divine grace to sinners. A name which reveals to us that the wonderful counselor has come into the world. The King of Glory has come. The man who's wiser than anyone ever lived. A man wiser and greater than Solomon has come. Isaiah calls him the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So this is the one that brings peace to us. Peace that surpasses all understanding. Peace within and peace with God. The question is, my friend, is there any other name that we know that we can compare to this name? Is there any other name given among mortals, among men, in which we may be saved? Is there any name that we are given in which we can pray in accordance to his will and receive all things in accordance to his will? Is this not the name in which the Father sent his Holy Spirit to teach us all things? This is the name that must be proclaimed among the nations, for his name means God is salvation.
lebitso la hae gore modimo ke ena pholosa ba le thotla ba hone ntle ntle le a tibiso di tabatsohle.
Can you now imagine then the next day Joseph, he wakes up in the morning after his words from the angel. Can you imagine the joy and the peace knowing that the Savior has come?
And the Hannah to Joseph a house was saying,
as he undertakes what the angel said he must do, taking Mary as his wife and later on naming the child Jesus. Can you imagine the peace that he had within him? The question is, does the name of Jesus bring us joy? Does the name of Jesus bring peace within us? Have we come to that stance, to that level in life where Jesus makes sense in us, where Jesus calms the storm within our own hearts? That's the instruction. Name him Jesus. But what we see for the second thing that we see is the mission of this king, the mission of King Jesus. You see, as if the name does not say it all, the angel, he continues and he says to Joseph, he will save. That's the mission. He speaks as if the name itself doesn't say this, but he's actually putting an emphasis. He emphasizes exactly the same thing. He will save. That's what Jesus came to do. That is why Jesus came into this world. He came to save. So we can see that in his name itself constitutes his mission. That is what he will do, and that is what he does. The angel says, through this one, God will save. By this one, God will save. Actually, this one, this is God who saves. That is the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have seen 2 weeks back in the genealogy of Jesus Christ that righteousness and godliness are not inherited. But righteousness and godliness is imputed unto those who come to him in faith and repentance. So God sent his son to do the work which only his son can do without being helped by anyone. Only he can undertake this kind of a work to save. This, friends, is not a work that he will attempt to do. We need to know as a church, this is not the work that Jesus will attempt to do, but the work that he will completely do. He will do this completely. Unlike the high priest of the Old Testament, who could not atone for the sin of his people. The high priest of the Old Testament, he himself needed someone to save him. But the Bible tells us that this high priest, because we have a better high priest who went through the Holy of Holies by his own blood, not the blood of bulls and the blood of goats, and his blood was satisfying in the eyes of the Lord. He will save. He will save. He will not assist his people to be saved.
He will not make salvation available for his people that they may work hard to gain it, but he will save. He will accomplish salvation for us. That is what we hear from the angel. In other ways, those whom he saves will not be left in the cold. Those whom he saves will not be left to go to condemnation, nor be relegated to darkness. But they shall rise with him one day. And as we speak now, they are seated with him in the heavenly places. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he saves. With these ways, the angel suggests then that prior to Jesus saving his people were helpless, his people were hopeless, his people were sinking in sin. They were alienated from God under the righteous judgment of the Holy God, unable to free themselves, unable to help themselves. So friends, this is not a savior who sits in heaven and biting his nails, not knowing what will happen, not wondering who's gonna choose him. He knows that the power to save is in his hands. He is the one who saves. Salvation belongs to our God. He's not sitting there worried, stressing and saying, I would have saved them if they can just choose me. Because that is his mission. So my friends, we all know that someone who needs to be saved is not someone who needs a little bit of help. I remember when I was 14 years old, I had a friend. He passed at home. There's this river that separates the villages. So this young man went to the other village to visit his friends. And then when he was on the other side, it started to rain, and the river was flooded. And he came back from his friends and he went through this river as normal, and he slept and he fell into the water and he started to drown, he started to sink. His friends started to laugh and say, it is time that you learn to swim. But the man was dying as he was losing his breath. Another man was passing by, and he ran and he jumped into the water and saved him. That is salvation. Saving someone who cannot save himself. Bringing someone from the garbage of sin who could not swim up. So this angel says the Savior's saving power does not depend on the wicked will of a sinner. That's what the angel says. He says he will save. So God's saving power does not depend on the will of man, but on God's decree. He does this thing without being helped, gentlemen and ladies. Let us open Ezekiel chapter 36 together. I want you to see this commitment that God does, that God says in these verses, what he will do.
Ezekiel 36.
But I want you to listen what God says He will do. And I want you to tell me, did He ever say you will do something? Because this angel says He will save. Listen what God says. But you can interpret for me.
From 25.
I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you unto your own land. You can underline that it says, I will. I will take you and I will bring you. Continues, I will sprinkle clean water in you and you shall be clean from your uncleanness. Underline, I will. And from all your idols, I will clean you. I will. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. I will. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and I'll give you a heart of flesh. I will. I will put my spirit within you and cleanse you to and cause you to walk in my statutes. I will. You shall dwell in the land of your fathers, and you shall be my people. I will be your God. I will deliver you from your uncleanness. I will. You can carry on and on until you finish verse 26. It tells you God will. God is the one who saves. That is why His name is Jesus. He comes to save. That is His mission, to save. So friends, God has a sovereign purpose to save. And it depends on this son who comes to save. He comes to save us completely. He comes to save us absolutely. If you will just put your faith in Him, if you repent from your sin, He saves. If you will put your eyes away from this temporal suffering and sorrows of this world, He will save you. If you can just move your eyes away from the suffering and the tribulations of this world and focus unto Him, He will save. If you just think of your soul for a minute, He will save. Because He comes to take us from the garbage of sin, from the kingdom of darkness to His marvelous light, He will save. So verse 21 points us then to the cross. We see the cross there. There's no other way He can save His people unless He goes to the cross. So we see that the angel already is saying that Jesus will have to give His life for His people that they may be saved from their sins. The angel points to us to that great rescue plan of God. Rescue from the consequences and the power of sin. A great deliverance from a great danger. Deliverance from the hands of an angry God. A rescue from the fires of hell. That's what we needed. Someone who will save.
Jesus says in John 14, if you read verse 2 to 3, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. He says. One man said, if our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent an economist. If our greatest need was information, God was going to send an educator. If our greatest need had been entertainment, God would have sent an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, and God sent a redeemer. Our greatest need was redemption. God sent His Son who saves. For anyone to be saved, you need to recognize the Redeemer. You need to recognize that you are in sin. You need to recognize your sin as deep as God sees it. Look at your sin as unsolvable, unpardonable, unless you come to Jesus. If you have to be saved, you need to recognize that you are children of wrath, dead in your sin and your transgressions. But at the same time, you need to recognize that God has sent His Son, who gave us His blood, that we may be washed from our sins, that we may be washed from our guilt, and stand before Him blameless. He has sent His sanctifying Spirit so that we may break loose from the power of sin. And if we can get loose from the power of sin right now, consequently, we shall get loose then from the presence of sin, where Jesus shall come and take us away from this crazy and wicked world. So the instruction was, name Him Jesus. Give Him the name above every name. Say that through Him, only through Him, men can be saved. Tell the world that He saves, and He definitely saves. Not potentially saving, but completely saving. He gives eternal life to those who come to Him in faith. Thirdly, look at this verse. You see the direct focus of His mission. The question is, save what? Save who? The angel says He will save His people. In every mission that I know of, there is saving, then there is the orders, if you want to put it that way, the focus. You're going to save, but what? There has to be that
subject of the saving attempts. If South Africa sends military to Sierra Leone or to Malawi and say, we've got assets there, we've got a people there, we have South Africans working there. When we send this army, we say, go save. That is the mission. But then the focus of the mission, go save our people, go save South Africans, go save our assets. My question is then, does those assets and those people become South Africans once they are saved by the army, or were they South Africans, which is why the army went to save them? Was it not actually the very purpose why they went, that there are South Africans there that they will go save and the assets? But back to this text, I don't think that Matthew's aim is to tell us who are his people. But Matthew's aim is to affirm that God, Jesus, has a people that he comes to save. Remember, he's writing to Jewish Christian or Jews considering the faith in Jesus Christ. He's writing to people who initially thought ethnically they were a people of God. Open Deuteronomy chapter number 7. Deuteronomy 7, let's read together. That is the Old Testament.
Chapter 7.
Let us read here. These are people who knew themselves to be a people of God. Matthew is writing to them. It says, verse 6 to 7, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasure, for his treasured possession, out of the peoples who are on the face of the earth. So in other words, you are a people whom God has chosen among every nation. Yeah, so he bypassed other nation and chose you that you may be people for himself. That's what he's saying. Then, verse 7. Then it says, it was not because you were more in numbers than any other person in the world that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all people.
It's
Moses speaking to Jewish people. Then turn to the book of Peter, 1 Peter. I want you to see how Peter uses these verses and applying them to the church of Gentiles. Let's go a little bit quicker. I'm trying to show you that Peter is speaking to a church predominantly Gentile, but he applies the same words which Moses spoke to the Jews. Where are these words? Chapter number 2.
Verse 9 and 10.
But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now we are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now we have received mercy. So the angel, when he says, So the angel, when he says his people, he's speaking of both the Jew and the Gentile. That is where I was taking you. Verse 21 of chapter 12 in the book of Med, it says, in his name the Gentiles will hope. The last text that I would like us to read together is 2 Timothy chapter 2. We read verse 19 together. God has a people. And that is why Jesus came. He came to save his people. You can read chapter 2, verse 19.
Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knows them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ his heart.
So the focus of the coming of the Messiah is to save his people. Friends, the Lord knows who are his. That is why he sent his son. Like an army sent to rescue a people. So his focus is to save his people. That is why the Bible says he came to lay his life for the sheep. He came to go to the cross for his people, to suffer the wrath of God for his people, to drink that cup of suffering for his people. The other scripture says Christ loved the church and he gave his life for her. So in other words, his people were sinners and lost before his coming. But then he came to save them. How is he saving them? He dies at the cross. Then he starts calling. Come to me, you who are heavy laden, I will give you rest, the rest of your soul. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. The water that I will drink, I will give to him, will be in him like a fountain of living water. So friends, this should immediately put to you a question. Am I a sinner? He come to save. Am I a sinner? Do I need a saving? And as for me, yes, I am. I was. And saved by grace. I don't know about you. I was born a sinner. I was born in sin. I offended the Holy God. I live my life as if all that matters is me. I had a great love, but the love for me. I had a deep love, but a love for me, not a deep love for God. But God says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your might. I always put myself first. And I know that someone will say now then, that's not me. But by saying that's not you, then you are making sure that Jesus is not for you, because he only came to save sinners.
He
came to save the lost not the righteous. He gave his life a ransom for the lost. He came to save those who will stand up and say, I am a sinner, you are a savior. I am wicked and you are holy. I am wrong and you are right. You are God, I am mortal. He came to give his life a ransom for many. Ransom is a complete price paid. Not a potential, but a complete price paid. Another hymn says, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed me white than snow. Let me ask this question. Who of you go and buy a car from Nissan and leave it in that dealership and hope that the car will follow me home? Who then of you goes and buy a car from Nissan and then assists the car to make it home? Is it not your responsibility to make sure that you take the car home? That you make sure that the car is serviced and maintained completely all the time? In the same way. In the same way, Jesus will not ransom a soul and expect the soul to make it home. He does not ransom a soul and then help the soul to make it home. But he holds the soul by his hand and take him home unto heaven where God is, and take him home with him. He holds us by the hand because we are sinful people. We will never make it home unless he takes us home. Friends, Jesus did not fail to do what he came to do. To purchase salvation for his people, to save his people from their sins. He did not fail. The Bible says, when the Son sets you free, he frees you indeed. He lived up to his name. His name means God is salvation. Jesus lived up to that name. Remember his last words that he said on that cross. He said, it is finished, it is complete. Nothing to add, nothing to take away. All that is required from us is to believe, to have faith in him, to turn away from our wickedness, to trust unto him, to depend on him, to cry out and say, Lord, here am I, save me. Let me say this to the Christian here this morning. If you are saved, you are his people, a people of his choosing, not a people of your own choosing, but people of God's choosing. But let me remind you that Satan is real. There's temptations every day. So we need that daily cleansing. We need something more than just forgiveness. We need a Savior to take us home day by day, to lead us in this life, in sanctifying us, taking us through step by step. We need to be transformed to the image of His Son day by day. Which is why He saves us and He places us in a Bible believing, Bible preaching church. So, friends, His name is Jesus. He will save His people. The question is, since He lived up to His name, He went to the cross. And now, if you claim to be a Christian, are you living up to that name? Are you living in the light of the gospel? Are you living in the light of Jesus Christ? Or you are just a hypocrite, not a true disciple? Has the light shone in your life? He has a name above every name. He saves. And He saves His people from their sins. If you have sins, one man can save. Jesus Christ. If you will come, come to Him. Here am I, O Lord. Cleanse me from within. Take me by hand. Lead me home. And He says, those that comes to Him, He will lose none. And He gives them eternal life. In verse 23, it tells us that His name also is Emmanuel. He is God. That is for next week. May the good Lord bless us. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all times, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
May the good Lord look after you and keep you until we see each other again.
Amen.